Chapter 12. A Second Chance. Yes, the bedpost was his. The bed was his. The room was his. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his to make changes in.
"I don't know what to do," cried Scrooge, laughing and crying at the same time. "I feel as merry as a schoolboy. A Merry Christmas to everybody! A Happy New Year to the entire world!" "There's the saucepan that the soup was in," cried Scrooge, going around the room. "There's the door through which the ghost of Jacob Marley came in. There's the corner where the spirit of Christmas present sat. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened."
Then he said,
"I don't know what day of the month it is," said Scrooge. "I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby." "Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby."
Suddenly, the church bells began to ring in the distance. Scrooge quickly ran over to the window and looked out. There was no heavy fog. It was a cold day, but it was a fine day.
"What's today?"
cried Scrooge, calling down to a boy in the street.
"Today," replied the boy, "it's Christmas Day."
"It's Christmas Day," said Scrooge to himself. "I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. They can do anything they like. Of course they can. Of course they can."
He called again to the boy.
"Do you know the shop that sells turkeys?" he asked him.
"Of course I do," replied the boy.
"Do you know whether they've sold that really big turkey that was hanging up there?"
"The one as big as me," replied the boy.
"What a clever boy you are," said Scrooge. "It's a pleasure talking to you. Yes, that's the one."
"It's hanging there now," replied the boy.
"Is it?" asked Scrooge. "Good. Tell the shopkeeper to bring it here so that I may buy it, and tell him where to take it. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you a silver coin."
The boy ran off as fast as he could.
"I'll send the turkey to Bob Cratchit's," Scrooge thought, "but he won't know who sent it. What a joke!"
He went to the door to wait for the man to bring the turkey. When he saw how big it was, he said to the man,
"That's too big to carry all the way to where Bob Cratchit lives. You must take a cab. I'll pay for it, and be happy to."
As soon as the man had left, and he had given the boy a silver coin, Scrooge went back to his bedroom and put on his best clothes. Then he set out for a walk. He looked so happy, and such a good man, that everyone he passed said,
"Good morning, sir! A Merry Christmas to you!"
And Scrooge said often afterwards that of all the beautiful sounds he had ever heard, those were the most beautiful to his ears. He had not gone far when, coming on towards him, he saw one of the men who had come to his office the day before and asked for money for the poor.
"My dear sir," said Scrooge, taking the old gentleman by both his hands, "how do you do? I hope you succeeded yesterday. It was very kind of you. A Merry Christmas to you, sir." "Mr. Scrooge?" "Yes," said Scrooge, "that is my name. I am sorry about the way I spoke to you. Come and see me at my office tomorrow, and I will give you some money."
Scrooge whispered a huge sum of money into the old gentleman's ear.
"My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you serious?"
cried the old gentleman, as if his breath were taken away.
"Such generosity!" "Don't say anything, please," said Scrooge. "Come and see me."
Scrooge went to church, and then walked about the streets, watched the people hurrying here and there, patted children on the head, questioned beggars, and looked down into the kitchens of houses and up to the windows, and found that everything could give him pleasure.
He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything, could give him so much happiness. In the afternoon, Scrooge walked towards his nephew's house. A servant girl answered the door.
"Is your master at home, my dear?" asked Scrooge, the servant girl.
"Yes, sir."
"Where is he, my dear?"
said Scrooge.
"He's in the dining room, sir. Come this way, please."
When Scrooge entered the dining room, he said,
"May I have dinner with you?"
His nephew and niece were very pleased to have him to dinner. With friends and other relatives, they had a happy dinner party. The next morning, Scrooge was at the office early. He hoped to catch Bob Cratchit arriving late. And he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 1:15. No Bob. He was 18 minutes and a half late. Scrooge sat with his door wide open so that he would see him arrive.
"Hello!" shouted Scrooge, trying to make his voice sound as angry as it usually was. "What do you mean by coming here at this time of day?"
"I'm very sorry, sir," said Bob. "I woke up late."
"Come over here."
"It's only once a year, sir," said Bob. "I won't be late again."
"I will not allow you to be late again," said Scrooge. "Therefore, I will raise your salary."
Bob did not know what to say or do.
"Yes, Bob," Scrooge said, "I will raise your salary and try to help your family, and we will talk about your problems this afternoon. Now, make up the fires so that we can both be warm."
Scrooge kept his word. He did it all and more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. He became as good a friend, as good an employer, and as good a man as this city or any other city knew. Some people laughed to see the change in him, but he let them laugh and did not pay attention to them, for he was wise enough to know that nothing ever happened on this earth at which some people did not laugh. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. Ever afterwards, and it was always said of him, he knew how to keep Christmas better than any man alive. May that be truly said of all of us. The end.